is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Hey, it's Mike Rohn. If I have a choice, I like to do business with companies that actually stand for something. That's why I switch from Verizon to Pure Talk. No offense to Verizon, I'm sure they stand for something. I just don't know what it is. Pure Talk, on the other hand, is a veteran-owned company that supports our military in a big way, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I also appreciate unlimited talk and text and plenty of data for half the cost of the big guys, and I do like being on America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month. But what I really appreciate is no contract, no cancellation fees, and Pure Talk's commitment to handle all their customer service in this country. I saw it for myself. I went to Georgia, I got a tour of their headquarters, I met their CEO, and I talked to the same customer service folks that you'll talk to when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Switch today and save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Pure Talk. A wireless company that actually stands for something.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. A federal judge says he is granting Mahmoud Khalil's release. Judge Michael Farbiars indicated he will issue an order shortly, requiring that Khalil be released by a certain time today. It is unclear exactly what time. Judge Farbiars denied the government motion to stay the ruling for 7 days. He has asked the parties to consult with a magistrate judge about any conditions that will be attached to Khalil's release on bail. The Supreme Court has turned down a request to quickly take up the case of President Trump's global tariffs. ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
It's a simple sentence from the court, without explanation, denying the request from two toy companies to quickly take up their challenge to the president's tariffs. The firms have argued that the president has exceeded his authority by invoking emergency powers to impose the import taxes. The High Court's rejection of that request means the case will play out in the usual course, and the tariffs will remain in place for now.
This is ABC News. AAA is out with some holiday travel data as July 4th nears. Here's ABC's Will Reeve.
AAA predicting an all-time record number of people, over 72 million venturing at least 50 miles from home, with a record 5.84 million flying to their destination. That's up almost 1.5% from the same period last year. And if flying or busy airports aren't your thing, prepare for company on the roads. A projected 61 plus million people traveling by car. That's almost 1.5 million more people driving than did so last year.
A preliminary NTSB report shows the pilot of a small plane that crashed near a North Carolina airport this month had raised a wheel after landing to avoid hitting a turtle on the runway. The pilot and a passenger were killed in the June crash near Sugar Valley Airport in Moxville. A second passenger was seriously injured in that same crash. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
Shop 4th of July savings at the Home Depot right now and get up to 40% off, plus up to an extra $600 off select appliances with free delivery, like Samsung. From all-in-one washer dryers to smart refrigerators, upgrade to tech you can trust with Samsung appliances. The Home Depot has what you need to simplify your routine. Don't miss 4th of July appliance savings at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid June 18th through July 9th. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Aylin. At the Capitol, it's unclear who's in the driver's seat on the state budget. Wednesday, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said there's been progress with the governor's office.
We're always open to seeing if there are areas that we could find some kind of, you know, veto assurances on.
But Senate Republicans Steve Noss and Chris Kapanke opposed the process. Democratic Joint Finance Committee member Senator Kelda Royce says Majority Leader Devin Lemahue needs to pick up the phone.
To decide that he is not willing to risk his majority and his more vulnerable members to kowtow to the most extreme voices that have clearly said that they're actually not interested in a budget.
The Joint Finance Committee canceled its session scheduled for Thursday. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson wants to delay the Trump administration's big, beautiful bill.
Johnson is going against fellow Republicans on the budget vote and released a report showing the House-passed budget reconciliation bill would put the U.S. into a massive deficit of $24 trillion over the next 10 years. Johnson is also pushing back against President Trump's claims that Republicans who oppose the budget would be, quote, finished in politics. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Details of a twisted tale of revenge unveiled as a woman tied to hazmat probes in Madison this week appeared in court.
Prosecutors accused 41-year-old Andrea Whitaker of helping her boyfriend, 43-year-old Paul Van Dyne, in his plot to poison his former love interest with cyanide. Whitaker was charged in Dane County Court Wednesday with harboring and aiding a felon. One of the victims had to be hospitalized after drinking the tainted water. During the hazmat operations at three different Madison locations, seven state agents had to be hospitalized due to exposure to chemicals. Van Dyne is scheduled to be in Dane County Court Friday on attempted murder and stalking charges. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Happy first day of summer. Under mixed skies, highs will soar to the mid-80s, which is quite comfortable compared to the extreme heat warning that goes into effect for the entire weekend. But before we get to that, showers and storms are possible late tonight and overnight. Some could be strong. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 81 degrees.
Then we'll go to biofuels. Well, they say it's not about how you start, it's about how you finished. And looking at you, soybeans.
Live, here's looking at you, soybeans. Via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTech. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Susan Stroud from No Bull Ag. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now filling in for Chip from Zener Ag Hedge, Ted's Hybrid.
Yeah, buddy, and yes, you are the most handsome newsman, and I'm happy to be here with you on a Friday. Yeah, happy Friday, everybody, and yeehaw, woohoo. It's, I don't know, it was a weird day, man, with Thursday markets being closed, and then...
Yeah,
you know, I'd like to say it was fairly low volume on Friday, but I mean, it wasn't terrible, right? We were trading. It just didn't seem like there was a whole lot going on, at least until sort of, well, right on the open and then towards the end of the day.
Well, speaking of trade, I feel betrayed because some of these markets looked pretty good this morning. I thought we were going to have a pretty decent day here, and all of them by the end, all of them. Well, not all of them. Pretty close, though. Pretty close, Ted. I didn't care for
one. Yeah, I almost said I'm looking at you, feeder cattle, because, like you said, man.
Yep.
You know, we were up $3, and then we were down almost two. So that was not a great look for that. Yeah, you had a lot of markets that did not leave a warm and fuzzy feeling ending the week. I'm picking on soybeans, though, right? Because, from a technical perspective, you look at the November beans, and we got within a penny and a half of that February 4th high, which everybody had been talking about, saying, hey, at some point, we got to get back to that February high and test it. Well, we just did that, and you had a resounding failure, right? I'm a stickler on the term key reversal. For me, that is a term that is only reserved for a market that has made an extreme, either... a contract high or a contract low, and then reverse to finish above or below the previous day's low, right? Well, this November beans didn't make a contract high. They got to the highest level they've been since February 4th. And by the way, that February 4th high is the highest that they had been since the beginning of October. So it's a very, very significant high. It's also February, which is, you know, where we set that crop insurance level. For a lot of reasons, it's a significant high. We got within a penny and a half of it, and then we closed well below Wednesday's low. And I said Wednesday because keep in mind we didn't trade on Thursday. So that is an outside reversal down day. I'm guessing somebody will call it a Q reversal. Technically, that's not the actual correct term, but it is a very significant thing. I did say we had a little bit lower volume than we usually would on a Friday, so maybe we can put an asterisk on the chart for the day. But if we don't negate Friday's trade range or by early next week, I think you got to be real concerned that we're not going to hold that recent strength that we had in soybeans, really all coming from that big day that we had last Friday on USDA report day, but more importantly, the EPA proposals. We really didn't see much follow through on it this week, and we did not end well. So yeah, that's a concern for me. But yeah. Well, I'm curious to see what Susan has to say about that. And honestly, I mean, the main reason that I bring in Susan on for today is I've spent a whole week trying to figure out all of the EPA, all the biofuel stuff. And I'm bringing in a ringer. I need somebody smarter than myself.
That's a long week, isn't it?
it's been a long week of math, and I don't, you know, I mean, math is hard.
Yeah,
actually, it is. I'm pretty good at math. But no, absolutely, I think Susan will be a great guest to kind of navigate through that, as well as everything else we've got going on, right? I mean, that's, there's no lack for news. Davis, I mean, this is the time of year where we can have volatile markets based on changes in forecast, and you know we're hanging on the weather. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like we're hanging on so many things now. It's kind of wild.
Well, it's interesting to watch as someone who works in the news, who deals in the news, and reads through these things every single day. I'm curious. We have got so many headlines going on or flashing at any one time that could move the markets. I'm curious if news fatigue just goes to one story. We've all got news fatigue on Russia, Ukraine. Nobody cares anymore. The markets aren't responding. Or is it possible to have news fatigue over the whole ball of wax and none of it matters? None of it impacts trade. That's what I'm watching.
Davis, we could do a whole show on this because I've long said that markets do get jaded on certain topics, right? Yeah. You know, you could take mad cow for the cattle complex,
good one.
Bird flu, Russia, Ukraine. You know, these are all things that we hear about so often that eventually we just say, all right, we'll just wait to see if there's an actual change of the balance sheet, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I kind of wonder, you know, with all the trade and stuff like that, I think we almost got to that sort of place with trade and tariff talks. I almost wonder if that was maybe the goal, right? Like, it was almost daily where the trade talks were the talk about it coming from the administration was contradictory and sending the market all over the place. And eventually, we were just like, okay, I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I don't know. Like I said, we could do a much bigger show on that. In the meantime, do you have views that you want to share?
You know what? I'm going to go quick. I'll give you the bullets. Wheat futures were off to a decent start. USDA reported net export sales 427,200 metric tons for 25-26. That was better than a week ago, around the midpoint of pre-report expectations. The Canadian prairies hot and dry. Russia increased its wheat export estimate. July SRW futures did manage to close just above the overnight low of 565.5. July HRW wheat futures 8 cents lower on the day, 563.25. July soft red wheat down 6.5 cents, 567.75. And at last report, spring wheat was not settled. I'm going out to the SEPT. The last we know, down 4.75 at 656.75. Ted.
Yeah, no, I look. Wheat had a great week. It was a little bit of a profit taking close. It would be very helpful for corn if wheat can sustain a bigger rally, but we ran right into resistance and we saw a pullback. I don't think that's decisive in any major way, but, mm-hmm. A little bit of a pullback there.
Well, we've got daily new crop export sales of corn totaling 124,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations, and net old crop sales of 903,800 metric tons in the middle of pre-report trade expectations. July futures closed just below the previous for the move low, which lay at 429 and a quarter. July corn futures 4 3/4 lower, 428 and 3/4. Deese corn futures closed at 441 and a quarter, down 2 3/4 on the day, Ted.
Yeah, you know, I think to some extent corn was following wheat. Wheat, you know, I said it earlier, the December corn has bounced off that 435 level a few times. And I don't think we have a whole lot of weather premium in that December corn. But we hit the 50-day moving average and then closed 5 cents off of it. That's not a great look. It's not the end of the world. I think corn at the moment is a little bit of a follower stuck between beans and wheat.
I'm just going to hit the closes here. We're running scant on time. July soybean futures 6 3/4 lower today, 10.68. Novi beans closed at 10.60 3/4. That's down 7.5. Deese cotton 3 points higher, 66.70. August fat cattle 1.85 lower. August feeders down 172.5 to close at 302.45. And July hogs 60 cents higher, Ted, 112.77.5.
Woohoo! Well done, and everybody else, come on back to AgriTalk. We'll be talking to Susan Stroud of No Bull Ag.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
My husband is a veteran, and he was injured in the line of duty.
It happened while I was deployed to Iraq. We were stopped at a checkpoint. And then all of a sudden, there was a loud explosion. An IED detonated 3 feet from my face.
It was bad.
I remember thinking, who's going to take care of my wife and daughter?
We took care of each other with a lot of help from DAV.
When America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I don't know what we would have done without them.
DAV was the voice that we didn't have.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Jason get the life-changing support and benefits they've earned so they can achieve more victories.
It wasn't easy, but he never gave up.
My victory is knowing my disability doesn't define me.
He's an inspiration.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Milk has been around for thousands of years. In the Bible, the Promised Land was described as a land flowing with milk and honey. Hippocrates, the father of medicine, recommended milk for its medicinal virtues. And throughout our own history, as the land was explored and settled, a big priority was the acquisition of milk cows.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work. This June Dairy Month salute is brought to you by Dunn Energy, your Touchstone Energy partner, your source for power and information.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Dunn Energy is your Touchstone Energy partner, your source for power and information.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.61% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Street lights on the highway.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert. I'm from Zahner Ag Hedge. Today we will be talking to Susan Stroud of No Bull Ag. And man, I just don't feel like there's any sort of shortage of things to talk about in the world that we have today. But in particular, you know, Susan is quite the expert on renewable fuels, bioenergy, and we've had a lot of news on that, right? And as I said earlier, I've been trying to do a whole bunch of math this week, and I've kind of resigned myself to the notion that maybe there's somebody who can do this better than I can, so therefore, you guys get to listen into my learning experience about sustainable aviation and renewable fuels and, you know, what the effect is on feedstocks, right? I mean, there's a ton of stuff to digest there. And in the meantime, though, you know, something else that is coming up real soon, just about a month from now, Susan has a event plan for St. Louis. This will be the third year doing it. I've gone the last 2 years. It's been a fantastic event, and it's a great place to learn about these things as well. Let's bring in Susan. Susan, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, it's Friday, finally. It feels like a little bit of a Monday and a little bit of a Friday all rolled into one, so yeehaw. But
it's definitely a weird day. I feel like at least two-thirds of the industry is on vacation today.
I started the week saying, during the summer growing season, it's nice to not have, you know, the holiday on a Friday or a Monday, so it's not a three-day holiday weekend where you can have a big change in the weather forecast. But I finished the week by saying, well, when you have a holiday on a Thursday, it feels like a lot of people take Friday off, so it's almost like a four-day holiday weekend where you could have a really crazy move on a Monday. So, yeah, I don't know what's better. I actually almost felt like I did more work today, kind of trying to play catch-up from yesterday. So, either way, I guess, it is what it is. You just got to roll with it. And speaking of rolling with it, you know, I want to talk about your event a little bit. It starts off with a riverboat cruise, which I'm super excited about. I think last time we were both on the show together, we talked about having Davis as Mark Twain dressed up. Davis, what happened to that, man? Where are you going to be in about a month?
Well, unfortunately, I've sent my suit to the cleaners for extended cleanup after there was an incident.
That's quite an extended cleanup.
I may have it back.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can always use you in St. Louis.
It's hard to get marshmallow out of a fake mustache. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Very true. Yes, I can see that. I'm not very not an expert on hair, Davis, but aside from that, I can imagine.
There was a time.
Yeah, I vaguely remember those days. So yeah, that's true.
And considering that that Zahner is the official sponsor of the River Center Cruise now, I feel like you get naming rights to this. So instead of that, no one wants to spell, you know, no one wants to say the Zahner Mississippi Riverboat Dinner Cruise. I think the Zahner Booze Cruise probably has a ring to it. And Davis, you know, I was thinking, I sent Ted a picture of a captain's hat that you can customize. I was thinking that for him. Were you interested in being the like skipper, or I don't know, how does this go? What do you call like the first mate or something? Do you have a
I refuse to be relegated to Gilligan status. I'll be the admiral. How's that? I'll be the admiral, the grand old fellow.
Perfect. I could be Gilligan.
Yeah, but we might, you know what, we might need you actually, because we're kicking off the event instead of kind of a plain welcome cocktail reception. We're doing this dinner cruise. And Ted, I don't know, did you know that I've hired these fancy, like, lifted golf carts with lights and music that will be giving everyone a ride from the hotel?
This keeps getting better and better. I love this.
Right up your alley. The golf carts will give kind of the scenic tour right there through part of downtown St. Louis, and then they will drop you off at the entrance to the arch grounds, so you get to walk underneath the arch, get a picture or two, and then load the riverboat. But it's a narrated cruise along the Mississippi, so it's a tour of the St. Louis Harbor. It's referred to as America's Ag Coast. It's the largest port loading capacity on the inland waterway system. I think it's 2.5 times larger than the next largest port system. So pretty cool stuff, really important for ag. So we'll have that going on. And then so once the booze cruise is done, hopefully no one goes overboard. Day two will be the actual conference event. So this year's event is themed Certain Uncertainty, Trade Policy and the Future of Ag, with the focus being, you know, we wake up in a new world, it seems like every day. So lots of really exciting things. This year I will have kind of a focus on inputs, talking about the way that tariffs and things are affecting imported goods like chemicals or fertilizer. But then also one thing that CoBank will be on hand to talk about is looking at the deepening labor crisis in rural America. So not just from the perspective of we've had these ICE raids or whatever, but looking at bigger issues, you know, for instance, like we have these new crush plants that have been built. Well, those plants are in rural locations and they have to be staffed. And there are a lot of challenges with that. And I mean, anyone listening, if you operate a business, I guarantee that you have had issues trying to staff your business. Obviously, huge focus will be on biofuels. I'm really excited about this one because we're going to spend a lot of time on it because, as you know, we've had the last 7 days, just like tidal waves of changes that have far-reaching implications for the industry and markets going forward. We also have a session on making America healthy again, but at what cost to agriculture? So, this, you know, when I say that, you immediately tallow push for fries, and it really bothers me when you see this kind of thing advertised, because take the Steak and Shake fries, for instance, they're not cutting them fresh in the restaurant. They're probably par fried in some sort of seed oil. And then, you know, and then they make a big deal about it being fried in tallow in the restaurant. But what are the implications there? But it's not just about what we're eating. It's also about the way that some of these policies are affecting the way that we grow a crop.
Right.
So Krista Swanson from National Corn Growers, they just did a big study on the way that this potentially impacts from a chemical perspective, and these technologies that we rely on to get that 181 yield or 52 or whatever it may be. Canada's had a lot of issues, and so we're going to have the president of Canadian Canola Processors Association there to talk one-on-one about their challenges with trade and biofuels, both with trade in the U.S. and China. And then the last panel, Farming Without Borders, it is a South American producer panel that Cargill is helping me with. We have producers on hand from Uruguay and then also Mato Grosso in Brazil. And of course, Karen Braun, the one and only, will be there to help moderate and MC. So I'm really, really excited. Davis, I feel like you should be there. I know Zahner got a couple registrations with their sponsorship.
Yeah, you know, and last time we did the show, I think I said I was going to sponsor the cruise. Sorry it took me so long to sign up for that, but that we would have Davis come. So I don't know, Davis, we got to talk later about how to make that happen. The event sounds really fantastic. I'm really excited about it. The lineup is fantastic. The topics are fantastic. Obviously, I'm excited about it because, again, we're one of the premier sponsors. But I will say, since I do feel like the booze cruise, the riverboat cruise is kind of, you know, on us. I am a rescue diver, so feel safe, everybody. If you do go overboard, I will go in after you and bring you back. it's okay. I'm more worried about the cruising around downtown St. Louis, but we'll cover that as well. We'll have good people with us. So, yes, everybody, if you are free about a month from now, I think it's the 23rd and 24th in St. Louis, definitely something to check out. When we come back, we're going to dig more into all the biofuels news. We'll get a little bit of preview of what's going to get talked about a bit more in depth at Susan's conference, and get some insight into that, because obviously it's something that's driving the markets right now. So everybody, come on back to AgriTalk and let's finish our conversation with Susan Stroud of No Bull Ag.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. Where July HRW wheat futures were 8 cents lower at 563 1/4. July soft red wheat down 6 1/2 cents to 567 3/4. July corn futures 4 3/4 cents lower, 428 3/4. December corn futures closed at 441 1/4. That's down 2 3/4 cents on the day. July soybean futures 6 3/4 lower, 1068. Novi beans closed at 1060 3/4, down 7 1/2 cents on the day. December cotton today was 3 points higher, 6670. Over to your livestocks. August fat cattle were $1.85 lower at 209.82 1/2. August feeders down $1.72 1/2 to close at 302.45. In July, lean hog futures 60 cents higher at 112.77 1/2. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, August 5th through the 7th for this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, celebrating generations of progress with a chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative technology, taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There are also scheduled dairy tours and field demonstrations, hundreds of industry booths, and great family entertainment. Be there August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Happy first day of summer. Under mixed skies, highs will soar to the mid-80s, which is quite comfortable compared to the extreme heat warning that goes into effect for the entire weekend. But before we get to that, showers and storms are possible late tonight and overnight. Some could be strong. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 81 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert from Zehner Ag Hedge. It's Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. We've been having a conversation with Susan Stroud of Noble Ag. We've talked about her event. And by the way, Susan puts on just absolutely top-notch events from the last 2 years of this event, although the name's changed a little bit. I'm sure the quality hasn't. Neither has the location. It is a really fantastic location. And then also, you know, she did a trip to the Panama Canal earlier this year, which I was lucky to take a part of, and that was really fantastic as well. So, yeehaw. You guys don't want to miss it. But, Davis, I feel like we should maybe dig into markets a bit more. Where do you want to start, brother?
I don't know. The corn spreads were a big source of confusion there for a while, and I don't know if you feel any better about those or how Susan feels about the corn spreads. I mean, is it too easy to start with King Corn?
Not really, although that's not been quite as big of a topic of conversation lately because the shock and awe of that big break of the inverse market that we had, it's really kind of happened, right? I mean, we've just been moving more and more to a carry. There's something wrong with July corn.
Yeah.
We don't really know what because it doesn't show it on a balance sheet, but I have a sneaking suspicion that that will change by the time we see our final carryover number. This is something that Susan and I really kind of argued about last time. I didn't put Davis up to this, Susan, I swear. But, yeah, Susan, okay, let's revisit. What do you think? I mean, why are we now all of a sudden trading a 13-cent carry between the July and the December, albeit we just, you know, we've gotten into first notice day in July, so we'll stop talking about this pretty soon. But why are we trading a 13-cent carry in that between the July and the December old crop, new crop spread when back on April 11th, we had that at a 37-cent inverse? What is that all about?
I mean, for one thing, we're up against the clock. Yeah. So since the point that we last, when was it? Did you just say when it was? This is how great I am at listening.
Yeah, April 11th.
Okay. See how horrible. Yeah, since that point, I mean, look at the, maybe on paper from where USDA is, the number hasn't changed that much, but Brazil's corn production has only increased from there. So I think that that's one thing is we're at this point where that crop is being realized and it's going to create some challenges for us going forward. Plus, I think that we're finally at a point where we're realizing we're not running out of old crop corn.
Yeah.
Market's probably focusing on, I mean, we're a week. What are we? A week and a few days. What is today? Yeah, a week and a few days away from June 30th, you know, getting the June 1 stocks report. I think there's a little bit of fear that maybe we have a few more bushels around than what the numbers are indicating by the time the dust settles. I think we all know that the corn program is larger than our, you know, we've had this pace. It's a known. It's not a surprise. So if we find back some bushels by way of a reduction in feed or however it may be, I mean, the market's been telling us for a while, alert, we're not running out of corn. And I mean, the price, I'm not gaining any friends here, am I? But the market, you know,
the reality. You know, it's just, I honestly feel bad asking you questions right now because you're doing such a good job on Twitter and putting out booze cruise GIFs. I really like that.
But I mean, you step back and think, what are we? How many days we have relatively benign weather? I understand that temperature wise, it's warm, but we're not running out of, we're clearly not running out of moisture at this point in time. The market was built up kind of, you know, that's part of where you go from old to new. It's this anticipation. Are we going to have a crop or are we not going to have a crop? And that's kind of, that's the inverse's function as well too. Ration demand, and I don't think that, I mean, we're transitioning into a supply situation as we're knocking on the door of 95 or 97 or whatever in the world the acreage number is.
Yeah, the acreage number, and, you know, really big South American crop, which I think is still getting bigger, in my opinion. But, you know, I think this sort of unspoken truth about why our export program has been so robust, and the outlook for next year, is that, look, this was a really, really, really good corn crop, not necessarily from a yield perspective, although it was a really great yield. It just wasn't as big as what we originally were thinking before the dryness that we had in August and September. But that dryness that we had in August and September and how low moisture we harvested this corn crop, it makes for a corn crop that travels very well, shipping. And then also, once it gets to its destination, it stores very well. And what we've seen from the ethanol grind and from feed is that it has been a very high-quality crop for ethanol margins and for feed margins. And global end users have realized that. And so I think the concern is building in the corn market that a lot of the really wonderful export business that we've had this year is a direct reflection of how quality this crop was, just because of the timing and the weather that we had last year, and the uncertainty or concern that maybe we're not going to have quite that same quality crop this year. So global end users want this crop, maybe won't want next crop as much. So, yeah, I don't know. That there's definitely, I think all those things come together. The timing, you know, we're moving on to the next crop. Exports have been great, but will they keep up? Global uncertainty, all of that, right?
The wheat market sucks, so that doesn't help anything.
That's always been, I mean, wheat's really kind of turned it around this week, albeit giving a little bit back on Friday. I mean, definitely concerns with the Russian crop, some flooding, you know, in Kansas, as we've, you know, saw some AI images on Twitter this week that were misleading, I think. But yeah, I mean, if wheat were to continue to rally, that obviously would help corn. Now, look, time flies when we're having fun, and I definitely want to have enough time to talk about the beans and biofuels, because again, that's your bread and butter, and you know more about it than I do, and I want to learn from you, Susan. So tell us a bit about last Friday's announcement. What does that mean for our domestic demand for soybeans? Do we have the crush capacity to get to the gallons that they're talking about? Are we going to be able to pretty much exclusively use U.S. feedstock? How many bushels? You know, really, the bottom line, how many more bushels of demand does it mean for soybeans? So we've got, about 4 minutes. Give us your best.
Well, I think I think a lot of in biofuels, it gets so complicated. And I feel like a lot of people they miss the forest for the trees. So before we potentially risk running out of time, I think I want to say what the most meaningful takeaway from EPA's recent RVO proposal for 25 and 26 is. The most important thing is that the word farmer was mentioned not once, but seven times in the release. That's happened before. I looked back previously at the last one. It was mentioned one time, and it was in relation to corn ethanol. So that's one thing. But the first thing that I thought of when I started seeing kind of that we're out there and the administration is taking a clear stance and saying that we're supporting farmers, it made me immediately think back to beginning of March. It was during the Commodity Classic. President Trump posted to Truth Social, quote, "To the great farmers of the United States, get ready to start making a lot of agricultural product to be sold inside of the United States. Tariffs will go on external product on April 2nd. And then he, of course, said, have fun. So that right there, we've absolutely mission accomplished with that. So I want to kind of go back to a little bit of the words that stuck out to me. I put this in last week's or in Wednesday's hot take. See, I'm so screwed up on my dates this week. So, and then we also had this, these proposed changes for 45Z and that bill that's in the Senate. But so for EPA, I think the most important thing was they said, quote, "This action would help American farmers by ensuring demand for domestic-based renewable fuels." And to put this in context here, a few of these were some of the highlights that were tied to their proposed RIN reduction for any fuels that were either imported or coming or being made from imported feedstocks. Also, ensures American farmers and domestic renewable fuel producers remain the primary beneficiaries of the Renewable Fuel Standard Program. It also went on to say cheap imports will continue to undercut U.S. producers, weakening support for rural economies and further harming U.S. farmers. This administration is saying, we've got your back. And every farmer out there, no matter if you're a fan or not, you should be cheering EPA, because we've never seen action like this before. Also, the term energy independence, it was mentioned 17 times in this proposal, and rightfully so, because the RFS was originally established to help the U.S. achieve just that. So notably, there of those references, three of those were tied to the 26-27 RVO, and talking about the changing in the way that they're treating the foreign fuels and feedstocks. So they said, to encourage greater use of domestically produced fuels, support U.S. farmers and energy producers, and promote energy independence by reducing reliance on foreign feedstocks. Energy independence was also something that was a key theme in the Senate's proposed 45Z amendment changes that that came out on Monday this week. So this was proposing that fuels made from foreign feedstocks only receive 80% of the full credit. But the very first line of this, it says enhancement of America First energy policy. It says in modification of the clean fuel production credit and reduction in credit for use of foreign feedstocks. So there's a little MAGA for you, because definitely big help for U.S. farmers, and it's fantastic administration.
Well, big help for U.S. farmers. We love to hear that. Susan, time flies when you're having fun. I know I said that earlier. But hey, listen, great conversation. For everybody else, come on back to AgriTalk. We'll be back in just a moment.
Remember the last time you had your picture taken? What was it the photographer said to make you smile? Cheese. One of our favorite foods. We put it on burgers and sandwiches, omelets and quiches. And we love to fondue. Say cheese.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all your hard work throughout the year. This June Dairy Month salute brought to you by Security Financial Bank, Durand, River Falls, Eau Claire, Ladysmith, Bloomer, and Black River Falls.
At SFB Security Financial Bank, our agricultural relationship managers don't just know about banking. They possess hands-on experience in the agriculture industry. With long-term expertise and first-hand knowledge of the industry, our staff has your agricultural banking needs covered. Contact us today to learn how we can help. Security Financial Bank, Black River Falls, Bloomer, Durand, Eau Claire, Ladysmith, and River Falls. Member FDIC.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Keep your vehicle running at peak performance with routine car care from Adams Super Service, your partner's network car care center in Durand. Now through June 30th, save up to $20 on a full synthetic oil change and vehicle safety check. Visit AdamsSuperService.com to schedule your appointment. Your partner's network car care center is Adams Super Service, downtown Durand.
Gotta love the hometown guys.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
We step into the heart of the U.S. growing season. Brace yourself. This is traditionally the grain market's most volatile stretch. Recent months have already brought dramatic price swings, and more turbulence could be likely. Having a trusted advisor by your side can make all the difference when navigating this volatile landscape and spotting profitable opportunities in the chaos. Markets move fast. Preparation is key. Opportunity favors the informed. Let's make the most of this season together. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle or forget extra diapers. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never, ever become a minivan mom. So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, know it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-515-1548.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-515-1548. That's 800-515-1548.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge, and I'm filling in for Chip Fuller here on Friday. We were having a really great conversation with Susan Stroud. I have more questions. We've brought her in for a couple minutes here in the last segment to kind of get to those questions because, well, you know, there's just so many. Susan, really what I'm trying to boil all of this down to is, A, what does it mean for domestic demand for soybeans? How many more bushels can we expect for demand from this EPA proposal and everything else we've got going on from the biofuels perspective? And also, do we have the capacity to do with that? I mean, you know, we talk every year about what our limitations are from crush capacity. Can we do that, or how soon could we do that?
Yeah, I think, well, we have the capacity, and a lot of the reason that we saw, and as a producer out there or anyone that's in the industry, you need to go thank your friends at the various soy associations and biofuels groups for fighting hard to get an RVO that is more representative of the capacity that we have to make biodiesel and renewable diesel in this country. That was the biggest thing. We had this huge blow up in renewable diesel capacity that came online, all really due to the low carbon fuel standard and or California. And this is why we saw a huge build or expansion in US crush capacity. It was because of that. We started producing so much more than the mandate. And that's really where we saw the depressed margins. And we've seen a lot of plants shut down and 45Z and all that. But like, as it stands today, as we've seen this expansion the past few years, we have about 370 million bushels of annual crush capacity that now cumulatively that will be online by the end of this year. And we're just over the halfway mark or so. And so if we see the rest of these plants that are likely to come online, we're going to be closer to 650 million or so bushels of added capacity. But these bigger RVOs are really important because we've seen a lot of struggle with renewable fuel margins lately. Now, longer term, I think that it creates, especially when we're limiting the amount of foreign feedstocks that can go into production, it really is, it's a boon again for soybean oil. It's almost like the original boom 2.0. At the end of the day, we really don't have enough domestic feedstocks here in the U.S. to satisfy all of this demand. I think you're going to see a lot of things shifting and kind of resetting, but we have to keep all these things in mind. But at the end of the day, we're turning into, we're crushing 55-56% of all U.S. soy demand now is crushed. We're seeing exports slowly get squeezed out. Part of that's because we have this growing domestic program, but then also because we see increased competition from South America more and more each year.
Wow. Susan, awesome. You're a wealth of information, and I really appreciate you and all the insight that you have. I got to say, when we talk about 370 million bushels of crush capacity that we can add, or and that's only maybe even half of it, that's quite a bit more than I was expecting you to say. So, wow, that's really pretty impressive.
Right now. And so I think that this just helps solidify that we're able to see these plants come online and run at full capacity. I mean, that's ultimately what we want.
Awesome. Susan, once again, thank you very much for your time on a Friday. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And everybody, check out Susan's event that she's got coming up next month. Susan, what's the webpage for that?
You can go to nobleag.com or nobleagranext.com.
Yes, do it, everybody. It's going to be an awesome event, and I'll see you there. Susan, take care. Have a wonderful weekend, and thank you again.
Thanks. Headed to happy hour with Grandma at the Elks.
Yeah, right. Well, there's a lot to take in there, guys. Davis, what'd you get from all that?
You uttered under your breath a simple question. We'll go with December corn at, call it, 440. New beans at 1060. Are we having fun yet, Ted? Are
we having fun yet? I don't know, man. I'm going to say not really. But
I don't think, yeah,
but this
think
sounds
right.
Like this sounds like a whole lot of optimism going down the line. Now, what I'm also going to say is that, there are things that can kind of get in the way of all of this. And that is, global economics, global unrest. And I feel like we've had a lot of that really messing with us, right? And messing with our markets. If you extract all of that, which you can't, you can't take that out, right? But if we could have avoided all of these other things, then I do wonder if we'd be looking at some higher prices right now. I don't know. I really don't. But I think there should be quite a bit of optimism about the future, specifically for soybeans, I think. I think ethanol maybe gets a little bit left out in the mix here, unfortunately. But, I'm hopeful that a rising tide lifts all boats. I think we just got to get kind of through the time frame of, this global uncertainty that is just sort of the dark cloud hanging over us, That's sort of the thing there.
Well, and it does seem like with biofuels, it can be easy for me to get a little bit disappointed because we get an announcement, be it positive corn, positive soybeans, positive whatever. And that market's like, wow, yeah, great news, finally. And then it just sort of, it takes another 6-8 months to get the proposal, codified. And we never see the light of day again.
Yeah, that is obviously a concern that between now and October, it just doesn't come to fruition, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I guess what's the saying? You never count your chickens before they hatch. Well, they are potentially going to hatch, but yes, I guess we can't count them quite yet, and it will take time for the capacity to be realized and things like that. So, but there's more reason to be optimistic. Longer term than there was before, and I think that's the overall takeaway. Maybe we have to be patient. Maybe that's not going to help us today or tomorrow. But yeah, let's be hopeful about the future. Speaking of the future, I will be returning on Monday hosting the PM show. I will have Chuck Shelby from Commodity Risk Management. I'm looking forward to that conversation as well. And in the meantime, I hope everybody has a really great weekend. Thanks for listening to AgriTalk, and myself and Davis and Susan did a wonderful job as well. And like I said, hope everybody has a great, great weekend. Look forward to hearing from you and talking to you again on Monday.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Progressive knows if you have to choose between everyday life and your RV, RV wins.
What, are you going to take the RV to the lake or clean out your closet?
RV wins!
Putting the dishes away or taking the RV camping?
RV wins!
Cleaning the fridge or taking a trip to the beach?
RV wins!
You might want to clean the fridge real quick because, you know, mold.
We clean out the fridge, then take the RV out.
With Progressive, you can bundle your RV with your home or auto and save with a discount and spend more time enjoying those savings in your RV. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states and situations.
Introducing the new Dell AI PC, powered by the Intel Core Ultra processor. It helps do your busy work for you, so you can fast forward through editing images, designing presentations, generating code, debugging code, summarizing meeting notes, finding files, managing a schedule, and responding to Jim's long emails. Leaving all the time in the world for the things you actually want to do. No offense, Jim. Get a new Dell AI PC at Dell.com/AI-PC. How those ahead stay ahead.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. This morning, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was at the Tampa airport welcoming back a flight.